This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Patriots Friday on Sports Radio WEEI. Patriots Friday is presented in part by Toyota's official website for deals, buyatoyota.com.
By Putnam Investments, proud Patriots partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off.
And by AdCare. If you're struggling with alcohol, AdCare can help. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL.
This hour of the Greg Hill Morning Show brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, with locations in Salem, New Hampshire, and in Dedham next to Legacy Place. On the line right now here on Laird and Fitzy, it is RDC Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van, find out how far an extra mile really goes, and be sure to check out Scal and Pals, hosted by Scal and Ryan McDonough, available wherever you find podcasts. You can follow them on Twitter at Scal and Pals. Here he is on the Harbor One Hotline, out of bed on a Black Friday. How you doing, Scal?
I'm doing well. You guys?
Doing pretty well. Thanks for coming on today. And you're up tweeting.
No problem.
Aggressive tweet. Celtics are the NBA champions in 2021. Tell your friends and all the experts. That's different from what I heard you last week on NBC Sports Boston when you thought maybe the front court was not good enough. So is that a serious tweet this morning?
Yeah, I mean, they added Tristan Thompson, championship experience, toughness. I think that's the type of guy that we needed to add. I was only down on our front court. I liked Daniel Tice a lot. Not a huge fan of Cantor's defense in the playoffs, how he got exposed in the pick and roll. But I think Tristan Thompson, he could switch. He's tough. He's got a great mouthpiece. He talks. So I like this team a lot. And I think Tatum and Brown will continue to grow. We'll see a more consistent Marcus Smart, because we'll get more consistent time. So I'm really high on this team right now.
So do you like the Tristan Thompson signing as much as a lot of people have made a point of saying over the last week and a half? Because I think everybody was so hyped up on getting a big, and they thought it was going to be Miles Turner. Now in comes Tristan Thompson instead, and all we keep hearing is high character, does the dirty work. Is this what the team needed so desperately, as opposed to, let's say, swing guy off the bench or a three-point shooter?
Yeah, we needed a big. You can make up for a lot on the perimeter if you have, different guys to play different positions. Jason Tatum could play 2-2-4. Jaylen Brown could play 2-2-4. Marcus Smart can guard anybody, right? You could put different guys in there. You can use, and we've seen this with Brad Stevens a lot. He's gotten the most out of Evan Turner. He's gotten the most out of Isaiah Thomas. He's gotten the most, out of, Gordon Hayward. Look what he just signed for, going to another place. So he gets the most out of guys on the wings. But there's only so much you can do if you're not long, athletic, and tough. So if you can be a good team, you could go pretty far. But if you're ever going to win it, you got to have length up front. You got to have strength. You got to be big. And we just got that. And that's exactly what we needed. And I'm also really high on these rookies. And whether they come in and play, or they're going to be nipping at the heels of other guys, pushing them to improve, pushing Romeo Langford to improve. If those guys are you're talking about Neesmith and the opportunity, and he comes in and he can shoot 52% from the field like he did in college from the three-point line. Well, Romeo Langford now has to push himself to get time. That is the way the NBA works, survival of the fittest. If Romeo's seeing this young player play, now he's like, man, I got to get my shot right. I got to put the extra time in. I got to get to the point. I can't get injured. I got to stay on top of my stuff. And I think Romeo Langford has special defensive ability. So now Brad has more tools to work, but it all comes down to having that front court where a guy like Daniel Theis and Tristan Thompson can really hold down the paint.
Hey, Scott, what happened with the Indiana Pacers trade? Why did it fall through?
I don't think the Celtics loved Miles Turner at that amount for that many years. So if I don't know if this thing has gone through or not, but if the sign and trade happens with Charlotte, then the Celtics will have a $28 million, I guess it would be a trade exception. So now they can use that trade exception to pick up somebody last minute, right before the trade deadline or whatever. So they just, and you can get a guy on a 1-year deal, you know. So I think they looked at it like, well, if we lose Gordon, they weren't super high on, let's say, Doug McDermott. Maybe they were high on TJ Warren or Victor Oladipo, but Indiana wouldn't budge on those guys. So with this situation, I feel like they could take this trade exception and do something with it. And that's probably not till February, which there's ways that it works. Like, for instance, tax reasons and where you fall and how much you paid on your payroll. So there are ways for the Celtics to do some things moving forward. But for right now, they don't have to do anything. They can develop internally.
We got Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com insider from NBC Sports Boston, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. Scal, I've read recently that Kemba and his knee may not be right for some time, that he may not get, who even knows if he can get back to 100%, but it's definitely going to take some time. So do you think that that makes the Jeff Teague signing that much more important? And how much time do you think you see with him coming up this season?
So I've been doing a lot of reading with Kemba in the off season, and it seems like this thing is manageable. It's not there's some guys that get a knee injury and they can never be the same again. They lose that explosiveness. I feel like this Kemba thing, and it, from what we understand, is Danny Ainge and the Celtics knew there was going to be somewhat of an issue with Kemba's knee. So now that you have Jeff Teague, and don't sleep on Peyton Pritchard. I mean, this kid is a 4-year player, and you still have Marcus Smart that can play. So you have different guys that can hold it down if Kemba is out. So if Kemba can we can figure out a way for him to play 23 to 27 minutes. Now it's a big difference in the NBA playing 27 minutes versus playing 32 minutes, and you can have some of those nights off, load management days. So I think you take a long-term approach. Remember, they thought that they could get through the season last year, and there were times when Kemba was playing big minutes. I think they now know, like, in the future, Kemba's going to be a limited minutes guy going forward, at least not every single game, but most nights you're going to try to get him anywhere between that 23 and 27 minutes. And if they can do that, then Kemba can still remain explosive during the playoffs. So it's a wear and tear thing that you have to worry. No different than what the Toronto Raptors had to do with Kawhi Leonard or the Clippers had to do with Kawhi Leonard. You just got to make sure you're managing these type of things.
So it's like a load management thing. Man, it's a lot of money for a 23 to 27 minute guy every night. And, you know, I understand it is what it is, but
back up. What matters is the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So I know you could say, like, so what? So if Kemba averages 19 points a game or he averages 16 points a game, does it really matter? For the Celtics, it's about a championship. So the point would be all that money is worth it when you're trying to get over the hump at the highest level, not to win more regular season games, which I actually think the Celtics will do fine. They've done fine in the past with injuries. They've had different – and Brad does a really good job with that. So when you can't look at it like we're paying $30 million and he can only play 23 minutes, you're paying $30 million. So when we get to the playoffs, he can make a difference. And that's what you're paying him for.
Nope, that's a little superficial on my behalf. Good job by you. It's a good long view. But one other thing, though, with Kemba, Scal – do you think it bothers him that his name was mentioned so often, though, in trade talks that Danny basically wanted to ship him out for draft picks, or so we read just a few weeks ago?
I think some of that stuff may or may not be true. That's just how this thing goes. And I'm from the different era where, like, you sign a contract and you know that you can get traded. You could put a trade kicker in there, or you could put a no trade clause in there. So I'm really confused on when people say, well, is it going to hurt your feelings? It might hurt your feelings, but isn't that what this is? Like, this is all part of it. So maybe it does. I don't know. And I know that some players would get their feelings hurt, but ultimately, like, Danny traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. And so, like, if you're Kemba Walker, are you thinking, oh, I'm going to Boston, he's never going to trade me? No, you have to understand that at any moment, Danny's going to do what's best for his team. By the way, Danny loved Avery Bradley. He loved Isaiah Thomas. He had to move on those guys too. So, like, it's just how this the profession is. So I maybe the player is upset, maybe not. I have no idea. But I think that it's like you know what you're getting into once you sign up for this gig.
We had Jeff Goodman on last week on the show, Brian, and he made the assessment that Ainge still has to battle elite players not wanting to sign in Boston. Do you think that's true? And would something like this, where a player comes in and gets shopped, affect that at all?
Did he have a reason why?
No, he just kind of as a flat-out statement. Just that's his observation, yeah, that elite players don't want to sign here.
I mean, you could probably make that conversation for 25 other teams in the NBA. So, and I think it could be weather, it could be city, it could be a lot of different reasons
right. Why
elite players don't sign. You know, people used to say that about Golden State until Kevin Durant signed there. People, you know, L.A., Miami, like, fine. But I would say, like, if you're the Orlando Magic and you're in Florida and you have no tax, or you're all the Texas teams, like, why are elite players signing down there either? So that narrative may have – if Jeff had a reason for that happening, if he said it's because of Danny Ainge, then I probably can argue that. If it's because of Boston, I could probably argue that. You know, Al Horford signed and Gordon Hayward signed. Gordon Hayward was an elite player. But Gordon Hayward just signed again right now for $120 million. Like, did he sign here – and he was elite, and then he left here, and he was not elite. I have to understand the reason why Jeff would say that.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the East, who do you think is the best, the top challenger for the Celtics? Do you feel they're going to be the top of the list? But would the Nets be in the mix this year with Kyrie?
No.
Interesting. So, some people have them as the favorite.
I think Milwaukee is. I think they're nuts, but I think Milwaukee is. Milwaukee right now is the best team in the East. The Celtics will be the best team in the East at the end of the season. But right now, I mean, what Milwaukee did, they really got better. They just improved. They filled some holes. But the only thing about the whole Milwaukee system is they don't change. They always stay the same. Whether they're up 2-0 or losing three games in a row, there's nothing they ever do. They don't make adjustments on the fly. They don't make adjustments game to game. They just play their style, which – at this point, that's come back to bite them. But Milwaukee will be probably the best regular season team in the East. But when it comes down to it, and a lot of this has to do with bubble, no bubble, playoff fans, no fans. Like, that factors in. Like, Miami's not going into Pfizer Forum and winning two games and going up 2-0 on the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, in the bubble, everything was different. But I think Milwaukee will be challenging. I'm not high on the Nets. I'm just not. I've seen Kyrie up in person. I don't think he does enough of the winning plays that it takes. But, you know, Brooklyn's team is not done being constructed. And I also would say Philadelphia's team is not done being constructed. I actually think James Harden's going to end up in Philadelphia. Everyone's looking at the Nets. I think it's smoke and mirrors. I think he ends up in Philly.
Ooh, man, the East is going to be zesty next year. I like it. And also, I don't want to sleep on that point that you made about how Romeo Langford might get pushed by Naismith and Pritchard coming to town, too. That's going to be a fun one to kick around for a while. So the Green Team tweet question of the day for Scal comes in from @probably_should. Scal, the Green Teamers want to know, should the Celtics kick the tires on Lou Williams? I personally thought it would have been a solid pickup. What do you think about Lou Williams?
So I would wait on that trade exception until I see what this team is. So right now I think Peyton Pritchard is a player that could get some rotational minutes, right? But he might not be. Jeff Teague, I think he has some stuff in the tank, but he might not. But having that trade exception moving forward, I wouldn't do anything right now until I watch my team unfold. It'd be great to see. Like, we all had these like preconceived ideas of what's going to happen, and then the season starts to unfold, and you start to realize this guy's a player. He's a rotational player. He's not. This guy can do this. This guy cannot. You know, who moving forward, who's part of the Celtics building in the next 5 years? Who's part of the Celtics right now? So I would personally, and I think this is what Danny's going to do, just sit tight and just kind of wait and then make a decision, you know, as I start to see how my team gels. Because right now this team has a really good roster. And we have to expect that Tatum and Brown are both going to take another jump forward. This is like the last big jump forward will be right now. And I would expect that. And then from there, it's all about managing body injuries, like, you know, like that type of stuff. But they should take another step, you know, from this game one to game 82. And then you start to find out the needs of this team. Maybe it's a versatile 4 or 5 man that can shoot the three. You know, like Tristan Thompson and Daniel Tice are just okay at shooting the three, but maybe that's the answer, you know, something like that. Maybe it's a versatile 4 like Rudy Gay, you know, a player like that. So I'm sure somewhere down the road the answer will present itself. I would hold tight until I saw what I have.
Last one, Scout. Any concern the Marcus Smart locker room dynamic, whatever that was in the bubble, comes back in some form this year?
You know, in 2008, we got in fights like every Tuesday and Thursday. So I'm the wrong guy to ask. Go ask somebody that lived like where the locker room, where everything was just hunky dory and A-OK. Like, we had blowups and it was like no big deal. So I don't think it's a big deal at all. But I do think that Marcus Smart is also ready offensively to take, like, not take more shots or anything like that, but I think he's going to enter into being a really consistent player offensively, whether that's making 4 threes or, you know, running the point or seeing him off the ball. So as a starter, he's always played well. He's always shot the ball well. So I'd really like to see him as a starter. We'll see what happens, what Brad ends up going with, but I would love to see Marcus as a starter with this team, and I think he'll be more consistent offensively with that.
Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it on a holiday Friday. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and I hope you have a good weekend as well.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Thanks, Scout.
Brian Scalabrine, RDC Sports NBA Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Driving a Mercedes-Benz van gets you to find out how far an extra mile really goes. And check out Scal and Pals, hosted by Scal and Ryan McDonough, Scott's brother. Scott McDonough. Sean McDonough. Sean's brother. There's Scott
McDonough. Good old Scott.
He probably
McDonough.
Another brother, Scott. Available wherever you find podcasts.
Can I just tell you right now, Ken, after talking to Scal for a few minutes, Patriots season can't finish quick enough. Let's go Celtics!
Well, he says they're the favorite, as most people accuse him of being a honk, but I
fine.
I don't think...
Fine.
Harden could change things if he goes to the...
Harden could change things in the East if he goes to the 76ers, then the East is going to be really exciting because the West is obviously best right now, but... Let me just say that I wanted to bring it up again in the interview just so I didn't forget it, but also to make sure that people heard that. That was a great point about how Pritchard and Naismith coming in could actually push Romeo. So obviously not much of a rookie season to be had, has surgery at the end of the year, no major contributions, but people think this kid can ball. Now,
is Romeo Langford the Jarrett Stidham of the, of the Boston Celtics?
Good job by you, Ken. That's a good job by you. I wonder if maybe Langford can't make some contributions this year because he gets pushed like, hey, if I don't do something year two, I better get my ass in gear because these guys may come in. I like the fact Pritchard's a four-year college player, four-year starter. Kid obviously has the right attitude. And if Naismith can shoot 3/4 as well, obviously different speed, different game. But if he was that good a shooter in college, these were the things the South... Danny Hez, even if he did... Depending on your opinion, botch the Indiana deal with Hayward or not get the most out of it. Maybe the trade exception is the best thing. If he loved Thompson that much, you get your big. You get some shooters. You get some competition. Maybe they do have the right mix. It's exciting.
And I'll reiterate, this is my scoop. Let me pull it up here.
Scoops Laird.
This is now again, this is another like it's a Tristan Thompson Cavaliers honk, right?
All right.
This is a source.
Everyone's a honk.
Well, okay, not a honk. Right. He's a member of the Cavs organization.
Okay.
And he said to me, I said, what do you think about Thompson signing with the Celtics? Love him. Love it. Forget about what you read on TMZ. Top 3 players we've ever had in the organization, character-wise. They beat the Heat in 5 or 6 with him, not exaggerating. They got him for peanuts. Stevens will effing love him. Every show I'm going to be on to the end of the season to ask me this, if they have me on, I'm going to say that. Boston, favorite in the East. Fits the team perfectly, doesn't need the ball, does the dirty work, and defends.
Wow. What else could you ask? How excited are you to watch games in an empty TD Garden, but just the Kardashians courtside? Tristan Thompson dominating.
What would the Patriots record be on December 22nd when they tip off? Are they still in it?
Pats?
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be 6-8.
Yeah. If that's the case, they still have a chance, I guess, given the COVID outbreaks that are happening in the National Football League. Maybe there'll be eight teams that are getting in at that point. Finish 8-8 and you're in. We do have a bit of an update in terms of Kyler Murray and his injury heading into the weekend, which could be good news for Pats fans. Let's get the trending.
Mike Lombardi joins OMF today at 4. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Start letting go of your weight this holiday season. Pick up a different New Year's resolution for 2021. Reserve your consultation at awaken180weightloss.com. All right, Mike Giardi tweeting this out. This is from their general manager, Steve Keim, Arizona Cardinals GM. Kyler Murray dealing with his shoulder issue. There are still a couple of days to go. Our expectations that he'll be ready to go, but he is still dealing with a shoulder issue. You saw this on Thursday night, right, in that loss to Seattle? He was kind of moving around on the sidelines. He was still making throws late in the game. He got sacked, right? It was like a fourth down. They had a chance to win that game over Seattle, and he got taken down on a sack by somebody. I forget. But anyway, shoulder issue and no Larry Fitzgerald. Advantage Patriots.
And if they can get to Murray, make him uncomfortable, maybe actually put some pressure on him, sack him, guess who That's you true. Would be seeing?
Oh, who's their backup? I don't even
Name
know.
Name him.
God,
who's I'll the buy backup? You... If you can name it within five seconds.
Is it Peterman?
Ah, oh, so close. No, he was in Vegas for the Raiders.
Okay.
For some reason, Gruden thinks something of him. No, that's right, everybody. Chris Streveler.
Who?
Yes, exactly. Chris Streveler.
Oh, and they got Brett Hundley on the team. I see as I pull up the roster.
Oh, man. I would.
South Dakota's Chris Streveler.
South Dakota. Actually, when he comes to the game,
hey.
It's in his contract that he has to get announced that way.
It's that kind of weekend. RG3.
Coming into the game now for Murray, South Dakota's Chris Streveler.
RG3 Chris Streveler. The Ravens.
Just the way Goodell drew it up.
Yeah, right. Schefter tweets this out, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A note on any games potentially forfeited as the NFL season winds down. Players on both teams would not be paid for that game. A forfeit would mean a loss for one team, but a loss for the players on both teams. So how about that? So you think the Steelers would be pissed off there? They bumped them for Thursday. They'd get the win, but they would, not paid for the week.
Did you see Steelers' social media after the bump, number one? And number two, one thing I didn't realize, Ken, Thursday night was going to be the last chance that they would have been able to have fans at what Berman calls the big ketchup at Heinz Field, because Sunday is December. It's the 29th, but the new ordinance and regulations in Pennsylvania kicks in. So any fans that were going to, it was going to be a couple thousand that would have been there last night, they all can't
That's
go
gone.
Now.
Well,
and no wonder why everyone's pissed.
Well, you'll be there Sunday, right? You get back in the stands?
I will probably.
You're tapping out on this one. Packed it in.
Dude, Andy Hart and I discussed as much the other day on Dale and Keefe. It's not fun. It's very depressing. It's not if you're whether you're watching for that clinical, critical media perspective like an Andy Hart, or if you're me and you want to get excited and cheer because you can literally sit anywhere you want in the stadium. It's not fun. It's depressing.
Oh, more good news for the Patriots. Bills lineman Cody Ford is out for the season, announces Sean McDermott on WGR, our sister station out there. Torn meniscus, 3 to 4 months of rehab. Pretty big blow to the Bills offensive line.
Will the Bills go into a tailspin?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the Patriots winning the AFC
East? I think they could. Their schedule's not... They have a bye. They're coming off the bye. They have the Chargers. They still have Steelers, Patriots, Dolphins left.
The Bills?
Four possible losses. They could go 2-4.
Honestly, if the Bills had lost to the Rams and the Patriots had beat the Bills... Yes, I know, and if my aunt had a blank, she'd be my uncle. But if they just could have figured...
That fumble was huge.
Ah!
Gigantic. Time for your WEEI Exergen weather forecast. A high of 57 today in Greater Boston. Not bad. Cloudy skies early, but some clearing this afternoon. Limited time, unlimited joy. Visit your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Test drive the Mercedes-Benz of your dreams at the Mercedes-Benz winter event. But hurry, these great offers will be gone in a flurry. Visit MBUSA.com to learn more about the Mercedes-Benz winter event.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Listen, this trend was started way back when you had the Steve Youngs, the Warren Moons, John Elway, Randall Cunningham, Michael Vick, Donovan McNabb, you know, Cordell Stewart to a degree, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to sit up here and be the first person to say that I am the originator of this, you know, style of play, because that's not true. There's been a lot of quarterbacks that played way before me that have brought a element to the quarterback position that was extremely beneficial or heartaching for defenses to try to figure out.
Cam Newton talking about running quarterbacks. Mobile quarterbacks is a little bit of a different phrase, Fitzy, but yeah. I think it's interesting. And by the way, it's the Greg Hill Show extended into the 11 o'clock hour. Dale and Hart coming up 11 to 3 today.
You're welcome.
And they'll be followed by Wiggy and Brian Barrett. And then Bradfoe, late night, 7 to 10 with the Hot Stove Show.
So it's it's Dale and Hart, mm-hmm. and then B-Wigs. Nice.
Sure.
That's a hell of a holiday lineup.
That is
right
a hell
there,
of
audience.
A lineup. And then you and I are back tomorrow. We're not even sure when, but you and I will be back tomorrow in some form.
We're TBD.
Yeah.
We are TBD. By the way, this is just the power of Google, the NFL and its longevity and just random names. So whilst Googling Ken for the name of the backup quarterback for Arizona, because we may need to know it depending on how Kyler's shoulder is, we found out it was Chris Streveler.
Right.
I searched Arizona Cardinals backup. And up comes this Google list. And who do I see? Here's today's blast from the past. If you're as old as we are, quarterback name of the week, Gary Hogaboom.
Wow. What year was that?
I mean, just all these different players that have played quarterback for them at one point or another. I didn't think I'd be seeing Gary Hogaboom's face today.
Was he mobile? Could he run? Yeah, Hogaboom?
Give him the old Hogaboom.
Will the next Patriots quarterback after Cam, whether it's next year or whether it's a bridge from Cam to a couple years down the road, will that quarterback be a mobile quarterback / running quarterback? Kyler Murray is a definite running quarterback, right? He's got 700 yards rushing and 10 rushing touchdowns.
Right.
Deshaun Watson.
Mobile.
Mobile, but I would say running too. I think he's had some, I mean, certainly McCourty feels that way after he ran through him.
Ooh. Well, where was that when we talked to him? I think Deshaun Watson, you think he's a running quarterback, but he's more mobile. Patrick Mahomes, mobile. This is the new trend. Like, the days of Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Philip Rivers, Aaron Rodgers even, although he can be mobile when he needs to.
But you just rattled off a lot of top 10 quarterbacks in today's NFL.
They're a dying breed. That's the end. Like Joe Burrow, sadly now obviously out for this season, possibly next, he was mobile quarterback.
Well, what about Herbert? Herbert's not a runner.
No, but he can move.
He can move a little bit, but he's...
You have to be able to move. I think you have to be considered a mobile quarterback to survive in this NFL.
Well, that's
with
not
the
true.
Speed I mean, of linebackers
look
and
at the
safeties.
Top quarterbacks. Here's the top 15 at NFL.com. Philip Rivers, 15th. Pocket quarterback. Jared Goff, not a runner, not even very mobile. Matt Ryan, 13th. Tom Brady, 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lamar, 11th for sure. Roethlisberger, 10th. Still doing well. Mm-hmm. Herbert, we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pocket quarterbacks here. Derek Carr, he's not a runner. Tannehill, 7th, not a runner.
He can move. What are you talking about? The guy played wide receiver. He's very mobile. He's a mobile quarterback.
Murray, yes. Josh Allen, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Watson, yes. Russell mm-hmm. Wilson, yes. But you said yourself, Rodgers, no. And Mahomes,
but
kind
can
of a tweener.
Be if Aaron Rodgers is quicker than people think, but he tends to stay in the pocket because of all the arm talent the guy has. I think the mobile quarterback isn't just the wave of the future. It's here. You're going to have to be mobile. And when you look ahead to the next draft, Zach Wilson, very mobile. Trey Lance, he runs. Justin Fields, he's very mobile himself.
Fields did not look good last weekend.
No, he did not. But also, that kid that they played, by the way, the Indiana quarterback, what, Penix is his name? Woo.
Yeah, where'd they come from? Indiana.
Where did he come from? Is he a late bloomer? Is that someone we're going to have to keep our eye on?
And Kyle then, of course, Trask is not much of a...
He can move. But he's not. He's mobile enough.
And not. And the Bama quarterback is not.
Mac Jones is not.
Good thrower.
Got a great arm. I think he's the Joe Burrow 2.0. And obviously Trevor Lawrence. I wouldn't. Would you call him a runner? Because
no,
he does.
Not really. Well,
I mean, the guy ran for a 70-yard touchdown.
Okay.
And he moved. He moved a good amount last year.
But the point is, as much as we want to buy into this phenomenon that the quarterback position has changed, and it has some, it's not as extreme as people want to make it. That question to Cam was from Mike Giardi.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the influence he's had on these guys and the league. But still, beyond Russell Wilson, none of those players have won Super Bowls, right? I mean, Kaepernick came close.
Should have won one.
Probably should have won. It's not there yet, and I'm not sure the Patriots want to go that. Does McDaniels want to go that route?
Absolutely.
He does?
Absolutely.
They've stopped running Newton. They have one of the most prolific running quarterbacks in league history, and they've stopped running him at all. In fact, I'm a little worried that Cam can't run anymore.
Well, because he was doing so well. I think what happened, I think that fumble, not only did it screw the fumble against Buffalo, which you're putting your finger on as the play of the season.
Play of the season. No question.
That turned their fortunes.
Right. That scared them straight. They're like, forget this.
We can't have him run. I think they decided to stop having him run so much, even though when the passing game wasn't working in Buffalo, bad weather, high winds, these receivers. Although that was Meyer's sort of, you know, re-coming out party, if you will, the second half of that game. I think when Cam fumbled, I think they dammed the torpedoes like they're not running with him anymore.
That doesn't
it's too bad.
Because, why?
No, it doesn't. The guy can move, and he's great.
Now, he couldn't move quick enough to get out of the third and fourth down pressures at the end of the game.
Maybe that's because you might need your right tackle who's just come off IR, who's filling in for your left tackle, to pick up the blitzer as opposed to double-teaming by accident the same guy your left guard is.
I understand, but Watson gets out of there and runs for a first down or something.
Right.
I mean, Cam is not that player anymore, but still, I didn't expect him to – he looks like he has lost a step now trying to run the ball.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is in his 30s. I mean, no one's ever going to say he's got 4.4 speed. I still think Cam can move enough. I think they've taken away a lot of the running plays. Now,
But that makes me think they've tried this, and for the future, they don't really want to go Lamar Jackson, Ravens offense. That's not what they want to do.
No.
But for a while, I thought that's exactly what they wanted to do.
And the weird thing is, it worked so well week one.
That's what I mean.
And then it worked a little bit against Seattle, but then they got too far behind and had to throw Edelman's last great game. And then week three against the Raiders, it worked. They ran for 300 yards against the Raiders.
What's the truth about the running game last week for the Patriots? Why did they get away from it so dramatically? Was it really because of what Houston was doing and showing them? I mean, when they tried to run, they actually couldn't very well in the second half of that game. It was kind of strange.
Houston, so Romeo Crennel, smart coach, he and his defensive coordinator sniffed out what the Patriots were trying to run. Pats didn't have their most creative play calling day. A lot of run blitzes. Forced the Patriots that, in the combination of Houston just going touchdown, touchdown, touchdown on those three first half drives, got the Patriots out of their comfort zone. And the worst thing was they got away from the running game, but getting away from it, they should have gotten more creative with it. And they made bad play calls. The game was over, Ken. That game was over on the Rex Burkhead play.
On the third and one?
Third and one.
See, but there they tried to run it, ironically
But that was
enough.
A bad...
The toss play?
I know that they call it the toss crack, that play wide left. If you need 1 yard, don't run it 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage and put that guy out in space and expose him like that. I just think it was a bad call, and I think that at that point on, game
well,
was
the
done.
The worst thing was before the half. They had a 3-and-out, which allowed Watson to go down the field and score again.
Sure.
To make it 21-10.
Yeah.
But the offense did nothing there. They tried a pass to Bird on the sideline. Cam got hit. Nothing. Second and 10, they ran it. Third and 7, Merciless got just enough of Jakob Johnson to trip him up.
Yep.
And that was it. It was like, now you're down too much. Now they're in a hole. They're out of sorts.
It's just crazy because I don't think Houston was, quote unquote, feeling out the Patriots on that first drive. The Patriots mixed the run and the pass beautifully. 6 runs, 4 pass
right.
on that first one, went 80-some-odd yards, right down the field, touchdown. I think we all got duped into the same thing. They're just going to run this house today.
Early prediction? Have you made your official pick for Sunday?
Yes. Patriots by a point.
Oh, so they get it done. Is Murray compromised? Do you buy into the shoulder issue as a factor in the game?
Yes, he's compromised. Still plays the game. Still does a damn good job. I saw some texters earlier saying, like, watch out, it's going to be Andy Isadora Day. It's Andy Isabella, number one. Number two.
Oh, the UMass kid.
Yeah. Oh, big homecoming game.
What are his stats this year? Has he done anything?
He's done okay. He hasn't lit it up exactly. He's good, though.
I saw their tight end had a touchdown last week. That's not good news.
No,
the
you
Patriots
don't
get carved up now by any Aikens. Whoever the tight end is looks like freaking Kelsey every week.
Your third tight end is Travis Kelsey against the Patriots.
That's so
especially
true.
Especially if Duggar's out.
It's like salt in the wound, too, because you got to watch Izzo, and then whoever the other tight end is Ben Coates in his prime.
It's going to be Terrence Brooks trying to guard their third tight end, and why is that already giving me night sweats?
All right, about to wrap it up. We have the crossover next, so we will get into a spirited conversation, I'm sure, with one of the two parties of either Dale and Hart, which are standing by. I think they're taping up, they may be taping up a Patriot as we speak. I don't know. We'll find out. One of them will stop on by. Laird and Fitzy in for the Greg Hill Show. Dale and Hart coming up at 11.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Time for the crossover. It is brought to you by National Lumber. Visit them at national-lumber.com. Fitzy was just regaling Andy Hart with the eggnog Russian recipe, which sounds damn good to me.
I'm simple. I go maple whiskey eggnog, which I love, but I'm willing to branch out, mix it up, and mix in something new.
I am telling you. Listen, this recipe came from a former radio producer in New York City who's from Buffalo. And you know people from Buffalo, they can do three things. They can eat, they can drink, and they can watch their team lose. Oh, and let me tell you, this guy knows how to eat, good cook, and he can drink. And the Yellow Russian is the drink all of you need to make. Everyone listening right now, put down whatever you're doing. Cancel your Black Friday plans. Go home, put on your favorite movie, and you do 4 ounces of eggnog, do a shot of Kahlua, shot of vodka, the Yellow Russian. A little sprink maybe of cinnamon or nutmeg on top.
Why don't you start the drink? Because Keith does these, and it's
terrible. Yeah, do videos.
Keith, like, spills ice in his... I know. The margarita was a terrible disappointment. Oh,
all of his videos are terrible.
Right.
Ouch.
Skinny girl margarita mixed with tequila. Wham. Keith and I have been tooth and nailing it over that one for a while. It's just not a margarita.
You don't like his sword videos?
The sword videos are good.
Yeah, those are... Yeah, but that's just the slow-mo on the iPhone. I mean, they're fun to watch.
They're fun.
He's got a sword. I mean, I think
he does. All right,
he's putting
let me not bury the lead.
Yeah. I challenged him, though, because there was another sword video making the rounds recently. I don't know if you saw it. A bottle of soda. A guy threw up a bottle of soda and tried, and his sword just like bent and wobbled and twisted. Couldn't. And I go, "Have you tried it?" And Rich is afraid to try it because he thinks his sword might do the same thing, and then he'll just have a useless piece of metal.
Then he's just got a lower grade katana. You need some of that, like you need some of that.
How
like,
do you know?
Sushi chef grade, like sharp. I feel like
that's one of those things you don't know until it fails.
You need like a mirror, like Miramoto. Oh, is that the noise you make? Is that Andy's disgruntled?
Honey, I know what I want for Christmas: a new sword.
Andy's disgruntled samurai sound.
Yeah.
You should relaunch Extra Sauce. Is what you should do. How about for Andy? Fill him in on the beer can and the turkey. You were talking.
Which hole?
Okay.
All right. I'm
just asking.
Bridget, go ahead and dump this last hour, please. Thank you. So yesterday, not only did I brine the bird, brined it in cider for 24 hours.
Okay,
great way to go.
Pick
that up.
Your little teeny bird.
Yes, I had a 10-pound bird.
Bird.
I had a 10-pound bird. It fed the family, and it'll make sandwiches for days. I have two small humans. I don't need a 27-pound turkey like you.
No one needs a 27-pound turkey.
Did Michael, is your house the blind side? Did Michael Orr just move in?
Nope, just us.
Dear God.
My daughter doesn't even really like turkey, so it's really divided by three.
RIP, the Hart family septic system, JFC. Oh. My God. More to the point. Brine the bird. You can brine any size bird. It was a cider and citrus brine. 24 hours. Came out, and then after we dressed it all up, made a nice little rub for the turkey, and then in there, right in the cavity, little Jack's Abbey Copper Legend, their Oktoberfest, which is a delicious beer. And so what that does is it sort of like trickles out, and it perfumes the bird. It keeps it hydrated, very moist, and then that runs down into the pan with the turkey fat. So now your turkey gravy is a combination of like your little broth and gizzard action that you've made, plus the fat and the cooked Copper Legend. It was spectacular.
Sounds good. I will say I did try the upside down bird, breast down.
And what did I say?
It was great, very moist. But when we took it out, it did take some planning. Like, how the hell are we going to flip a 27-pound bird right now without it landing on the kitchen floor? And
I feel like I'm diapering a child, except this child is 350 degrees
hot
right now.
We had it, we both, and then we were like, well, what if we both do this? And then we both, let's just put it down and rethink this for a minute. And we finally got it, though.
And you know who the sneaky winner of Thanksgiving was? Shea Laird, because his wife, who of course is an expert Indian cook, married Padma Lakshmi over here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He had chicken tandoor for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we went opposite.
Okay.
We pretty much canceled Thanksgiving and just went tandoor chicken, which was great.
Which is
a couple different versions of chicken.
Way to go. I mean,
and you enjoyed it.
Oh, awesome.
Did you feel any nostalgic loss or anything? Like,
it didn't feel like Thanksgiving, but I
it didn't really at my house either, since it was just us. It felt like a normal dinner. We sat down.
That's what it felt like. It felt like a prolonged dinner, and I had to like chase kids around. I'm trying to cook with my wife.
Yep.
I'd like to actually watch football for 5 minutes, although that's about all you needed to watch each game to see which way it was going. I would enjoy a beverage. And instead, it was just me. It was just like...
It was like a slightly more formal, regular dinner Saturday night that we put a little more effort into.
Bingo. Bingo.
And it's kind of sad.
I know. And then everyone was tired at like 8:15 and went to bed, and I didn't have a Steelers-Ravens game to fall asleep to.
But according to Ken's world, we're all fine now. We all did what we were supposed to do. We all had little four-person gatherings for Thanksgiving, and there will be no outbreak.
Well,
although in Ken's world, an outbreak is apparently one player. What was the team I heard you driving in? Got an outbreak in Denver.
Yeah, I corrected
one guy.
Myself.
That's an outbreak. It's
He corrected himself.
It's a fearmonger right there.
Here comes MAGA Heart, everybody.
You're damn right.
New press secretary for the MAGA party.
Unfortunately,
I'm looking into him.
Andy, we're only as good as our weakest link, and Greg, God knows where he's been. So despite our... Our sacrifices, it's all out the window when
so
Greg comes
one
back.
One guy
Monday,
ruins
so
it
much.
All. The carrier monkey.
Pretty much. Greg. Andy's coming up with Dale, 11-3. Who's your patron of the day?
Patron of the day, I believe, is J-Mac. We will talk to Michael Irvin at 12:30. I think we have NFL Network's great-smelling reporter, Mike Giardi, at 1.
Wow. Could you do me a favor and ask him where he does get those outfits? He is the most well-dressed member of the New England, if not national media. Whoa. It's a dapper gentleman.
It's going to turn into an ad. I don't know if that's okay, because I know where he gets. He always tweets about him, and it's...
Oh, is there like one place
he
goes to?
It's an ad. So you're really trying to do that? You're trying to fluff up an ad for Giardi?
No, I just thought he had terrific taste, but if he has... If there's
he's just got a guy.
He's got a guy. Okay.
Real quick, sports topic for the crossover. First Take was debating this. National Super Bowl interest is this weekend's game, Chiefs and Brady and the Bucks, the marquee matchup. Would that be the highest-rated Super Bowl possible? Based off the
left
possible
on the board.
Combination.
Well, it should be, because played in a pandemic, we should have every single household in America staying to themselves and watching from home. No parties, so the most audience. Now, I will say, I was never one that got the little defensive of Patrick Mahomes, too much, too soon, too much praise. Did you watch the other night when Chris Collinsworth sits down does his little and does maybe seeing the greatest player that's ever played the game? Can we wait
a second?
Did he
say that? Wow.
Can we wait till he has his ACL tear and comes back from it or blows out his shoulder? Like, we're really anointing him possibly the greatest player that's ever played the game
a
couple years in. Now I'm angry about it.
I mean, in defense, he's really good.
He is really good. So is Russell Wilson. So is Kyler Murray. So is Lamar Jackson. So is Tom.
He's better.
Excuse me?
He's better
than Tom Brady?
Right now? Yes.
No. He anointed him the greatest ever, so he already surpassed your supposed GOAT, who you fraud, Fitzy. You've already turned on Brady like that?
Oh, my God.
So
you
true.
With this tired old act.
Wow.
You with the you are the
who
comic.
The F and GFY
you
was
are the,
fraud.
You are the comic that comes on after the comic like, oh, boy, how about that guy's tired old routine, huh? Hey, do you have any jokes of your own? No, I'm just going to rip the guy that was on stage
hey,
before
works.
You.
We all find our mark in
oh,
life.
Oh, my
spot.
God.
You've turned up. You
no wonder
think
why I slept so well Wednesday night. I had to deal with you for 4 hours.
You think Mahomes is better than Brady? He's
right now?
The real GOAT. We're watching the GOAT on Sunday,
he
and it's
needs
not
to do this
Brady.
For another 15 years.
Oh, okay.
You bozo.
So that's reality. That
but
Collinsworth,
right now, he's better.
Collinsworth has been ruined by PFF. As soon as he got in bed with them, he went down the crapper.
Seattle, I think, is a better draw than Brady
nationally.
Yeah.
Mahomes,
Russell Wilson.
Wilson. What about Mahomes, Kyler Murray?
Well, I'm going to tell you, when it's Steelers versus Twift, you better... Titans, formerly Redskins.
What about, I heard you say maybe that Deshaun Watson's going to go on a run. I mean, that would be an extreme run. That would be a fun Super Bowl if it had Deshaun Watson.
But the problem is he'd only get to 9-7, and it's probably going to end up being 10-6 that you're going to need to get in.
I will say, there is... No coach, I think, that I would ever root for more than Romeo Crennel to lead a team to a Super Bowl. The 74-year-old, talk about a good story.
That'd be awesome.
That would be.
Oldest
is there anybody
ever?
In America that wouldn't get behind that story?
Oh, are you kidding
Rack
me?
Rack in a Super Bowl?
Everyone feels like Rack is the uncle they were deprived the hug and comfort of. But you know, he was there a ton when
oh,
you were
loved
at
loved him.
Patriots doc. Now,
I always said
did he
was
dislike you as much as everyone else there?
No. See, the funny thing is all the assistant coaches seem to like me. Weird reason.
I know. Why
weird
is that?
Reason. I don't know. Because they see through my gruff exterior.
Right.
But yeah, Rack, I always said he was a massive loss to the dynasty and that sort of drop off there. Mm-hmm.
Which
I don't think Charlie was.
Which coach was the biggest loss Belichick's had?
Oh, I would say Rack.
Really?
He was, in my mind, the intermediary between Belichick, the game planner, the business first, all of that, and like actually a human being that Willie McGinnis and those guys loved. And
oh, yeah.
So there was that like that one step in the process more between the direct connect to Belichick.
I remember after they beat the Eagles in Super Bowl 39, people think like the lasting image of that game is the water being dumped on Bill Belichick and his father.
Yep.
To me, there, I remember seeing this photo. There's a picture of like Roman Pfeiffer and Willie McGinnis hugging Romeo Crennel. Crennel's almost got like tears in his eyes, and you could just tell how much they love that man.
Yeah, I don't know that there's ever been a player or another coach or anybody that has anything bad to say about Rack. Now, I will say, I don't think he's a great head coach. I think they may go down the road of making a mistake that the Kansas City Chiefs made a while back when they made him interim and then they kept him another year and said, for a full season, this goes down the crapper. But
I think they've already said they won't do that.
They have said that, but we'll see. I don't know. You never know what Jack Easterby does. Whatever God tells him to do, he's going to do. He's a
I'll tell you
squatter.
Who looks like a loss right now is Brian Flores. God, maybe if he had stayed, but of course, they're not going to skip a head coaching job, but they miss him.
He may have been the best head coaching prospect that's been within the Pats ranks that could have maybe steered the ship in the future.
And I think some of that is he was his own man. Even though he did work his way completely up, the experience as a player at BC and sort of a different the way he grew up in sort of the hard streets, I don't think he was quite as beholden to Belichick, just modeling himself after Belichick the way some of the others have.
Yeah.
Dalen Hart is on the way. Fitzy, see you tomorrow, I think, in some form or fashion.
But we don't know what time we'll be on.
I'm here 9 to 1 if you guys want to join the fun.
Yeah, that may happen.
Maybe we
may get shipped in with you tomorrow.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Or it could just be us, and then the afternoon there'd just be 4 hours of Andy tomorrow, America.
Ooh, the Andy Hart Show. There ain't nobody that needs that.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.